Back now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Bobby Schindler from Terry's Life and Hope. Good morning, Bobby.
Morning, Jacob.
So we've been hearing a lot recently from you in the news, from others, about the Charlie Gard case, the case of the little boy in England whose parents' rights over him were taken away by the hospital, who wants, as of now, to let him die rather than receive an experimental treatment. Here in America, though, another case of a not-so-young child, so to speak, has been progressing with not nearly as much press, but our attention should nevertheless be drawn to it because of, well, what it means for us, for healthcare, for freedom of choice, and all of those other things. Would you mind introducing us to the details of this case?
Sure. The young boy's name is Freddie Lempke. It's L-E-M-P-E. And back in 2011, he was involved in a pretty serious car accident that left him with a pretty severe brain injury. And essentially, Jacob, ever since then, the father has been involved in nonstop battle with the facility where Freddie's being cared for, Wake Med Health and Hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's on two occasions, most recently, they've attempted to remove him as guardian of his son. He's in a constant battle to get his son proper care, aggressive rehabilitation, and it's just been an ongoing struggle to the point where the hospital, I guess, got impatient or fed up with the father trying to get care for his son, that they tried to remove him as guardian so they can take over his care, and the father believes to take steps at that point to end his son's life.
So why is this happening exactly? I mean, I know that's kind of always my question to you, but it seems to me that, I don't know, you obviously know these cases better than I, but it seems to me that there must be at some point a cutoff line. Like, you take your child into the hospital, they're struggling with this issue, things are progressing as one would expect it to, i.e. medical professionals trying to care for this person, and then I'd imagine there's some kind of a switch or some kind of a pivot where suddenly they are no longer really working for the benefit of this kid anymore. What happened in this case? Is my assumption correct?
Yeah, well, I meant to also add that that Freddie's father has retained the same attorney that we had in Terry's fight, David Gibbs. So he is now advocating for Freddie to try and get the help that Freddie, the father, feels Freddie deserves. And they're tough situations, Jacob. In this case in particular, there's just a different type of philosophy on the care and the, I guess, the results of that care or the prognosis of that care. The father believes that with aggressive rehabilitation, there has been signs in the past that Freddie has began to improve. I believe the hospital's stance, it's my understanding, is that he has a poor quality of life. He's not really going to improve much from this condition that he's currently in. And I guess believes that any further treatment is just going to be a waste of resources. So in their best interest, the hospital's best interest, it's better off that they stop treatment and don't try any further treatment, because they believe, I guess, in their mind, it's a waste of time. So it really comes down to resources and whether, based on, I guess, this person's quality of life, if they deserve or if it warrants them to get aggressive or further treatment.
You know, I'm going to ask an apologetic question of you now, one I've not asked before. It's very easy for me during our conversations, I'll be entirely candid with you, to get extremely frustrated. I just can't stand this. The darkness of these kinds of cases are very troubling to me. The idea that medical professionals, insurance companies, hospitals, etc., would say, hey, you know, it's a matter of money, it's a matter of resources, you don't deserve them, sorry, you're cut off, literally. It just troubles me on such a deep level that I have a really hard time, I'll be honest, getting through our segments together. That said, that's not helpful of me to have that response, right? We can't actually fight this trend in our culture just getting super angry about this stuff and saying, oh, these people, they're so awful, let's demonize them, etc. So what would you say, I mean, working with these people, are there ways we should be having these cultural conversations that might convince them using their own language? I mean, you and I are obviously operating from a paradigm wherein human life is paramount, right, is the most important thing. They are operating from a perspective of, we only have however many resources to allot, and we needed to give it to the people who have the best statistical chance of surviving and improving. So how do we meet them where they're at to such a degree that we can convince them to come over to where we are? Is there even a way?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jacob. I think we're up against really a machine, this healthcare system, and I kind of look at it as a case-by-case fight, where parents, in this case, is asking for something I believe is reasonable, and where the hospital just has a different philosophy. They don't think he's going to get better and don't want to waste resources, as I said. You know, what do we do? I think culturally we have, and I think particularly in the medical profession, it's been years in the making, where there's this shift now where a lot of these medical professionals have this ethic where, I think it does. A lot of it goes back to looking at people with a certain amount of value and dignity, and I think many of our medical professionals don't look at certain people that way and are strictly looking at them from, are they going to improve, are they not going to improve, and are we going to waste our time trying to use our resources to help someone that they don't believe is going to be helped? What do we do? I don't know. I guess I don't look at it in the big picture because it is so it's so overwhelming that I kind of just look at it as trying to help families individually as we're trying to do. And if they're making reasonable requests, as I believe this family is, then I want to do whatever I can to advocate for them and fight for them. But we do get cases where we don't want to get involved because we just don't think, we don't want to be vitalist here. And we try to be prudent and take cases that we believe we can help. I don't even know if that answers your question, Jacob. I know what you're kind of asking, but I don't have a good answer for what you're trying to ask. To my best of my ability.
Well, it's hard to answer to the kinds of darkness that we see today. I don't think you or anyone else could be blamed for that. But what I do appreciate in the answer that you gave is that ultimately the spread of goodness, virtue, and God's love is not something that can come from any wide-reaching effect. It comes from personal contact on a case-by-case basis between individual people. That's how the kingdom of God is promoted. And we thank you, Bobby, for doing what you can and also encouraging us to do what we can to bring truth and love and a comprehensive vision of the dignity of human life to every person on a person-by-person basis. Where can listeners find out more about your work?
Well, I'd like them to go to Freddie's website. It's prayforfreddie.org, and it's number four, so it's pray, number four, Freddie, and it's I-E. .org. Please go to the website, read about the case. It's been going on since 2011, and the father could use our help.